This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, we so often pray for the grace and strength to step out in faith. But help us to always realize that whenever our hands are extended, yours is already there waiting to bring us salvation. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Good morning. My wife said, I have a Sunday school meeting with the teachers after the service today, so make it short, will you? So, sermon today is, come on in, the water's fine. How's that? But you want your money's worth, so we'll go on. I want to start by telling you an anecdotal story. There is a podcast that I listened to from a gentleman in St. Louis who has a remarkable story by the name of John O'Leary. And he was interviewing the man attributed with the incredible growth of the Starbucks coffee chain. And the gentleman tells the story that it's not about selling coffee, it's about selling relationships with people. And he tells this story. They had, in the initial days, a coffee shop, a Starbucks, out in Seattle, where he was from. And that Starbucks was across from a retirement center. And every day at 2 p.m., Jim, who lived at the retirement center, would come over to Starbucks. He would order a small black coffee, and I'm not a Starbucks person, so I don't know the fancy names they have for it, Venti Grande, whatever it is, and a blueberry muffin, every day at 2 o'clock. And it got to a point where he developed a relationship with the baristas and the people who worked there such that they would write a little note on the coffee cup or on the bag that the muffin was placed in when they gave it to him every day at 2 o'clock. And this went on for 2 years. One particular day, Jim didn't show up at 2 o'clock. They put his blueberry muffin aside. 3 o'clock, no Jim. 4 o'clock, no Jim. So finally, one of the people in the coffee shop decided, we're going to take the coffee and the blueberry muffin over to the retirement home so that Jim doesn't miss it. And when the person went over there and asked for him, unfortunately, they said, we are sorry to tell you that Jim died in his sleep last night. So this word spread amongst the employees at the coffee shop. Now, what happens next is where it gets incredible. The person who knew Jim from the retirement center came over to the Starbucks and invited all of those employees to come to Jim's funeral celebration because they were Jim's community. And so they figured out a way to get people to cover the shop, and they all went to the funeral. They walked in to the funeral home where this was going to take place, and they had 3 huge round banquet tables, the kind that hold 10 to 12 people, bigger than the ones we have. And those 3 tables were completely full of bags and coffee cups with all the notes that those employees had ever written to Jim. Howard, who tells the story, tells it in such a way that I don't like Starbucks coffee, but now I want to go to Starbucks. It was such an impressive thing for those people who never realized the impact that they were having on Jim's life. He saved every note they ever wrote him. Wow. Remember last week, Mr. Rogers? Take 10 seconds to remember the people who are encouragers in your life. I hope you did your homework. If not, I encourage you to do that this week. That if you can, reach out to those people who are your encouragers. Thank them. And to be the encouragers for others. Now, there are so many things we can talk about with this particular incredible gospel. We have it depicted. You know, the windows on this side of our nave are all miracles of Jesus. And it's about the third one down there where you can see this miracle of the walking on the water. But let's talk about the context of this to really understand what's going on here. First of all, the context of Matthew's gospel, we're 30 years after Jesus has ascended into heaven, the church is having trouble. They had hoped that the Messiah, Jesus, was going to come back soon. That hasn't happened. They have that struggle. They have Jewish people who want to keep their Jewish ways, and they're wreaking havoc with some of those that don't think that they should be able to do that. They have different forces and opposition from the Romans. So they are metaphorically out in that boat at a storm at sea in the church. So a story like this for Matthew to tell would be encouraging to that community. But let's talk about some other things with the context here. You know, we had Transfiguration last week. So we missed the story that happened last week. Do you know what last week's gospel would have been? It's the story that comes right before this one. It's the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. That miracle that's also on a window there. Now, what is important about that story, above all things, where, remember, the crowd has gathered and it's getting late in the day, and the disciples say, Jesus, we've got to send him home. There's no food here. And what does Jesus tell his disciples? You give them something to eat. It's Jesus encouraging them of what Jesus knows they have the ability to do. And of course, they end up taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and voila, a banquet for all. So there is that background. But there's also the story. We had all those parables those last weeks. Then there's this other thing wedged in there where Jesus goes to his hometown and he has opposition. And the people are telling him, who do you think you are? I mean, we know that you're just Joseph's, the carpenter's son. Where did you get all this? They don't get it who he is. The disciples see all this. Peter and those disciples were a part of that whole experience then. Also, when they go out on the little boat trip, Jesus sends them across. Now, we have talked before about the Sea of Galilee. Some of us have been blessed to be there. And because of the geographic configuration, storms can come up very quickly. And when they come up, they are scary. It's bad news. So here's what is going on here. Jesus is not there. He went up the mountain to pray. Now they are out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. Peter is in the middle of the boat, and they are in the middle of a storm. What else could go wrong? I think Matthew is painting this picture that this is the worst possible thing you could imagine going on. And then Jesus starts to come to them. Now, we have accounts of this miracle in 3 of the Gospels. Luke's the only one that doesn't have it. But Matthew's account that we hear is the only one that has this episode with Peter and Jesus. So I think Matthew, in accord with this encouragement experience, I think he wants us to understand what is going on here, especially in terms of encouragement. So let's talk about Peter in the story. How many of us, through all our lives, have looked at this miracle as the miracle of Jesus walking on the water? What's the miracle that really happened? Peter walked on the water. Peter, a human being like me and you, walked on the water. Think about that. That's the real miracle. And the only thing that stopped him, the only thing that created the issue, was when he got afraid. Now, how many times in my life, in our lives, do we do that? We know, because we've been praying about it, and Jesus is calling us to step out in faith. And so we do it. And at first it seems like, yeah, this is a good idea, this is a good idea. Then all of a sudden, whoop, that fear creeps in, and there we go to sink. Peter sinks, not because he doubted Jesus. He sinks because he started to doubt himself. He was walking on the water. And then he doubts himself because of all of those things that he found himself in the middle of. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the water. So perhaps, the biggest takeaway for us from this account of that miracle is to realize that God believes in us. That God believes in the things that we can do. So why do we doubt ourselves? We get another incredible example of this with that first reading. We know the story. We've seen the musical Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We know all of that. We know the mess that family was. Families are messy business, as Dick Hardell told us years ago, the great Lutheran teacher, pastor. But the most amazing thing is, with all that Joseph went through, could you imagine your brothers? Let's kill him. Well, he ends up in a cistern, huh? Remember that wonderful parable about the donkey? The farmer's donkey falls in the cistern. They try and they try and they can't get the donkey out. So they decide, well, we're just going to bury him there. So they get shovels and they start to pour dirt into the cistern to bury the donkey. And with every shovel of dirt, the donkey just steps up on top of it. More dirt, more steps, more height. And before you know it, that donkey's out of the cistern. Okay, guys, how many times does the dirt come? And yet, all we got to do is step up. And Jesus' metaphorical hand will be there. So why do we doubt? Let's not move into fear. Let's move into faith. And we'll be out of the cistern like Joseph, and give birth to an incredible great nation like he did in whatever ways God wants to use us. And we'll be like Peter, enabling ourselves to believe in ourselves because God believes in us. Amen.